is our school of prayer. What we are doing is getting into a new habit. You know, something happened today. I was, nothing happened really, just that I was driving and I observed something, not a big deal, a church being built. And I noticed that, I won't tell you which kind of church, which denomination or anything, but something came to my mind, and that's the fact that anytime, you know, maybe people settle somewhere new, all right? People quickly go and build their church. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Like, this was in UNTH, actually. I was driving out. I just looked. I saw one big signboard. So I looked at, where's the signboard? Where's the, and I saw the building being constructed somewhere nearby. And then I began to meditate. Now, it may sound like a good thing, but the truth is that we have not yet formed the habit of Christianity. What I mean is this. In real Christianity, once you and I show up, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Once you and I show up, a church is established. It has nothing to do with the building. Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm not saying building is bad, though. Did I say that? I mean, if this building wasn't here, okay, the mango tree down there may have saved. But that wouldn't have been ideal. But I'm not looking at an issue here. We tend to look at it with a lot of reverence. That is the house of God, you know? But let me say it to you again. You know the house of God? Can you look around? Yeah. If you can see many houses of God, say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you are the house of God, say amen.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, that is what the house of God is. It is you and it is me. So as I was driving, I was just meditating about it again. And I said, this is a mistake we make as Christians. You know, people still get up, they want to go to church to go and pray. Now, when you go to church to go and pray, just good, you go to a quiet place. If you have a good backyard, you know, that has trees where you can disappear into, it is as good as any church in praying. It's very interesting that I have to say this. I used to think everybody knew it, but these days, you know, I'm getting to learn many things that many people don't actually know it. All right? I'm not going to be talking about this habit again. So today I was just thinking about it. I said, no, Christians must learn what is right. The building is good. I have nothing against the building. I won't even tell you which denomination. It is just that it made me think again that we often forget that the church of God is this. It is you. You, literally, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is why, you know, anything you say with your mouth, you know, you are the priest of God. You're always offering up sacrifices. Be careful that you are not offering sacrifices to the wrong people, though. Did you get that? But do you understand it? This is a temple walking around. Make sure your sacrifices are always correct and it's in the right direction. Because everything you say with your mouth, all right, you're offering something. You're offering something. And if you continue to speak negatively, you're actually offering something. I thought about it recently. Listen to this. This will surprise you. Like Derek Prince would say, I'm just feeling around. I'm not very 100%. I don't want to say certain. Anyway, let me just explain this. Now, I was thinking about it the other day. Do you know, as far as this earth is concerned, now listen to what I want to say. As far as this earth is concerned, we decide who is stronger, either God or the devil. That is, you and I decide. Yeah, but God is all-powerful. I've read the Bible enough. He's only all-powerful to destroy on this earth. When all of you have frustrated him, he will now use his power and wipe everybody out. I have noticed that thing. Take your time. Study it. God's all-powerfulness does not force anybody to be blessed. God, like this, if all of us gather and say, Satan will have first hand in this country, he will, and God can't do anything about it. If he wants to do something different, he has to consciously send people in that will come and say something different. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Yes, he has to send people in to go and say something different, therefore empowering him. Yes. What I'm saying, I mean it. If everybody cooperates with Satan, you know what? The power of God, yes, it's real. You're right. He's all powerful. He owns the heavens and the earth. You know what he does? He wipes everybody there away. That is the one Satan can't stop him. Satan can say, no, they are serving me well. They are serving me well. Let me show you something. When he starts seeing tsunamis, hurricanes, you know, earthquakes, fires, volcanic eruptions. God will release all of them in one day and remove everybody. That one, nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop that one. Satan can't, you can't pray enough. That is, people on earth can't agree enough. Whatsoever we shall bind, we bind destruction, it won't come to us. When we are not serving God, forget it. That one is coming. But let's not emphasize on that destruction. Let's not emphasize on his judgment. What I want to emphasize is the fact that when it comes to bringing good or setting order in places, the power of God is just as much as we allow him to have. You know why? Because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He does what he likes in the heavens. The earth he has given to the sons of men. If they don't handle it well, the only thing he can do is broom, and sweep them all away completely. So if we want the earth to be preserved, what does he do? He puts the salt of the earth in there. And when they do what they are supposed to do, that is what brings the preservation power of God into the place. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you understood, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so now why did I bring that one up? I'm just going to emphasize the fact that you and I are important. And it is important that we learn what is right to do. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, teach us to pray. It is important we form the right habits of prayer. It is important, you know, for me, this issue of fasting, which I talked about briefly last time, maybe I'll take another time, so later on, one of these days, very soon, I will have to discuss it again, why it is important and what a true Christian fast is, okay? It is important we know what is right to do. It is important we do it. If we're on this earth, now it's our duty, it's our responsibility to ensure that things are set in order on this earth by our prayer. We don't just sit down, observe things, and do nothing. The reason is this. If we don't do anything, literally, God can't do anything. That's just the way it is. What did I say? Let's start from the beginning. If we don't do anything, God can't do anything. That's the way it is. It is not as if we will get up and go and stand on the road and say, nobody will steal here. Yes, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that we have to, in prayer, you know, we're talking about what my friend called the agents of darkness, all right, trying to invade the East and all of that. You and I can stop it. Do you get my point? It's not as if we'll go there and go and buy guns and go and buy metal detectors and bomb detectors and sniffer dogs. No, we just pray about things. That's what I mean by doing something. Now, let's continue what I began to teach last time, talking about why God answers our prayers. It's important, I was saying, to form a prayer habit. Why I brought up that issue at the beginning about church being built and all of that is that I wanted to explain something. That we are the temple of God, and what we do continually is actually done in the worship of God. It's not just when we get to a building. It's not when we get somewhere and say, let us go to church. You are the temple of God. As you move around, that's the temple of God moving around. So you must learn how to offer the appropriate sacrifices. You must learn how to offer the appropriate words as a matter of habit. As a matter of habit. I have listened to many preachers, you know. Like I told you, I'll come to this fasting matter later. Ken Hagin says something that he used to take time out to fast 2 days a week. And he made a lot of progress. Then one day the Holy Spirit said to him that in simple terms, this is your fasting, I'm tired of it. Now, he didn't say it like that. I'm the one using these words. All right? He said, but the Lord said to him that, look, I'd rather you do something else. What? That why don't you live a fasted life rather than just choosing these 2 days? And they formed a new habit and abandoned this, let me go on 2-3 days fast. And I began to live what he calls a fasted life. Let me summarize it in my own terms, in my own words. Is I living a more disciplined life? Do you understand? Yes, because you see, I believe what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell him that if you think that this you're going hungry is what I'm looking for. No, not at all. I want you to live a constant life of discipline. Be disciplined all the time. Be restrained in the things that you do. And very importantly, we'll talk about it again when we come to this Christian fasting thing. Very importantly, take time out to wait on God. Not wait on God as if you say, personally, I've had my own. For every different people, it may work differently. But for me, when you talk about wait on God, it's not to just sit down and quieting your spirit and just wait like this. Look, you're not a Buddhist. Amen? You're not doing yoga. In a yoga, you do. No, for me, waiting on God is the way it works. Is just focus on the word of God. Pray, request. Listen, this is just me. Some people will disagree with this, but I wish they would stand with me and let us discuss. I don't believe Christians should tune their ears to hear anything. I said we shouldn't listen. I keep on saying, God is not stupid. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not. Once you have a heart that attends to Him, do you understand? Constantly. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get your attention. He does. Samuel was sleeping, did not know anything about any God speaking to anybody, just knew there's a God in Israel who will serve in this temple or in this tabernacle, whatever they were using. And then the Holy Spirit, when he wanted to talk to him, shouted his name loud. So loud the fellow thought somebody was calling him. And there was nobody else inside that segment of the building. It had to be Eli. So he ran and said, "Oga, you are calling me." The man said, "I didn't call you." Okay, maybe you're imagining things. The boy went back to lie down, and this happened a number of times until Eli now deduced that, no, maybe God wants to talk to this man, young man. Go back and lie down, and if he calls again, the fellow you thought was me, said to him simply, "Speak, your servant is listening." God knew how to get his attention. God set a bush on fire to get the attention of Moses. Do you get my point? What God is looking for, most importantly, is a heart attitude that is not beaten down with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all the worries running up and down. So when you're taking time out to wait on God, it's not to lie down there and say, because when I was in school, you see, this teaching was prominent that time. So we heard all kinds of God told me. And I still hear it to today. They have been dreaming of eating a kind of food for some weeks, but they haven't had it. Then one morning, they say, "God said I should eat this one this morning." And you know that, you see, a man has an appetite, a craving for something, is blaming God. And we saw all kinds of things. You form a funny image in your heart concerning one what kind of woman you like to marry. The first person you see like that, say, "God said to me," and we can't answer you anymore because it's God that talked. What you are doing is obviously very foolish. It's foolish to me, to you, to God, to the angels, to everybody. But we can't tell you because God said to you. And then, when it doesn't work out, that's what we used to do. All of us just nicely ignore that you said it in the past. Our illustrative sister Angie has now married Brother Michael somewhere. And you feel like pinching your bros. Oh boy, what happened? God didn't come for this wedding or what? You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to emphasize something. Forget tuning this your ears. What you can do is, the only way you can tune your ears, let me explain it properly, is by changing your heart with the word of God. Do you understand my point? Yes, some people say that if you are not quiet in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is very gentle. He's deep inside. He can't talk to you. When the Holy Spirit can't talk to you, it's when you are difficult, you are rebellious. Look, Holy Spirit knows how to talk. It doesn't always say it whispers out of your spirit. That is not in the Bible. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't talk like that. I'm just saying it's not in the Bible. How does he talk? Different ways. When he knew Peter, who don't hear, to go to the house of a Gentile, said, "Don't worry. It's bad upbringing. We'll help him." No, God knows when it's not your fault. I don't know what I'm saying. Yes, he knows. He said he's mindful that we are but flesh. So sometimes he knows it's not your fault. He knows you're a Jew. He said, "That guy, not a Jew man. Don't worry about it." A Jew man. He will never go to the house of a Gentile. With all the years Jesus spoke with him, his ears, so what do we do? Let's show him a great sight. So he rendered him hungry, took him to the top of the house, and he began to see visions. God had to work miracles. Do you know, when Peter came back from the house of Cornelius, people said, "What? How could you?" He had to tell them the story. He said, "It's not my fault, though. It's a vision." Because they were all Jew people. You know what I'm saying? They were all Jews. I don't mean Jew men in that sense. I just mean that they were Jews. So God knew it was not his fault. It's just how he was brought up. So the Lord intervened with a mighty revelation, a vision, a trance. And you're engaged. You see stomach begin to grow. It's not you. You are sure. And what happened? Auntie Mary, "It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit." If you, even today, if you still believe that something is wrong with you, even after the story of Jesus Christ, if you believe it today, I know something is wrong with you. So it was normal that Joseph did not believe. Do you understand my point? Woman, you begin to get pregnant, telling the Holy Spirit. We know different ways of getting pregnant. Holy Spirit is not one of them. But God knew, knowing that the woman wasn't telling lies, had to send an angel. Brother Joseph, come, let me talk to you. She was not lying. The angel had to appear to him. What am I trying to say? God knows how to get your attention. Do you understand my point? You have gone to lie down for the last week. The Lord speak to him. There are things he doesn't want to talk about. You can't force him to talk about it. You go and see one 18-year-old boy supposed to be passing his work in school. He speak, God speak to me. Who am I going to marry? He just I'm going to say, me? Talk to you about who you are going to marry. There are many people are asking, those who were in school, ask, you know, it will happen as a young guy on campus, you know. Ah, why not? You go pray that kind of prayer. And God himself doesn't know how to say to you, nobody. So you start seeing visions. Suddenly you wake up in the morning. Is this sister? The Lord is good. Next day you wake up, she's not there anymore. You sleep again. You see another vision. No, I didn't see any vision. Trust me, I've never been a vision man. But people were seeing all kinds of things. You know why? God didn't want to talk. The wife you wanted, you are going to marry. She's not even here. That is, you can't see her yet. Unless, in fact, so what God will do for you, just create confusion in your life. And that will help you a lot. Amen? You wonder what I'm talking about? God knows how to do it. Yes, okay. Go and like that sister. The Holy Spirit does it too. You're going to fellowship. You'll be helping her carry her bag. Carry her, and God say, good. Keep him busy. She'll break his heart. Don't worry. The Lord knows that. He said, keep him busy. The angel said, Lord, what's your problem? Keep the guy busy. Make sure he likes that girl a lot. So she's going, ah! Remember our sister Angie? Ah, Sister Angela, how are you? Fine. Can I carry your bag? No problem. Carry it. In fact, please, can you come to my room tomorrow morning? Can you help me? There's my assignment I need to do. What I can be a photocopy? No problem. It's the will of God. You go run up and down like this. God says, tell the angels, make sure he's on that job for 2 years. Her birthday by her card. Present. Good. Just keep him busy. Then one day, he'll not come with his real proposal. The sister will say, let me pray about it. And the angels will say, they'll go to that lady. Anytime she wants to pray, blow in her face. You can't pray properly. That's once he wants to mention her, Brother Ambrose that's asking me to marry him. You'll blow in her face. She can't hear well. She can't. It's confusion. The brother will be coming half hour with my answer now. 6 months. I'm still praying. Anytime I want to pray, it's fuzzy. It's fuzzy. After 1 year, when the angels now said, okay, fine. God said, okay, good. Release him from his bondage. Now he's been on the project for 2 years. Suddenly it become clear. The lady will just look and say, I'm sorry, I can't. Ah. The Lord said, I knew she was going to break his heart, but he had to keep him busy. You know, he has not prayed about prayer partner for 2 years. About married partner for 2 years. He's been busy on this bad project. We knew the project wasn't going anywhere. Since he wanted to hear by force, we had to keep him busy. The Lord is good, though. All things work together for good. I'm telling you, if you know how God works, he'll keep you in a distracted zone, you know, like you at least. When the lady has been breaking his heart, boom! He didn't hit the floor. The angels will gather it together. Don't worry, it shall be well. And I say, in fact, if I'm not even going to marry again, they say, oh, well. Praise God. That, not because they agree with him, but that's how he's thinking now. They keep him in that thinking zone for under 3 years. Finally, when the time is ripe, you go for a seminar. And the angels are waiting. You hear one word. And the usher that says, please sit down here. And the guy was saying, yes, I see the Lord. You know that kind of am I talking to somebody? I have a feeling, no. I've got a feeling. I'm talking to somebody in the house tonight. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I go into that? You can't force God to say anything. That's what I'm saying. You can't. What you can just simply do, when we're talking about waiting, we'll talk about it later, all right? Is to wait on him in learning. For me, personal issue is, just continue reading, studying. Then think. Just start planning like a normal person. Do you understand my point? If you're supposed to plan your business, start thinking, how much we used to start? God bless this thing. Or give us understanding. Give us direction. Be praying. All this, let me tune my ear. Doesn't want to talk now. Leave it. It's not part of the thing you're supposed to do. If he wants to say anything, he will say anything. Are you getting my point? It's not like, nah, he's talking now. Let me now. When God wants to talk, he knows how to interrupt all those things. Once your heart is tuned to learn, are you getting my point? Your heart is tuned to hear truth. Your heart is tuned, fine-tuned with his word. Most of the reason why God cannot talk is because we have blocked him with too many things. Let's talk about this marriage thing as an example also. In your heart, you are praying. As far as you are concerned, if that guy or that woman doesn't come from this area, he's not God. And you don't say it, but it's there. Pray from now to tomorrow, obstruction. You can't hear anything. Everything is blocked. Until you go for a seminar in which somebody like me is sent to go and tell you, come on, there's no division. When you hear that suddenly, dangers can break through and say, yes, this is what the Lord is saying. Or walk, God, breakthrough in your mind. You don't know how but you formed it long ago. If I don't go to America or go to relocate to Lagos or Abuja or this or that. So anytime you are praying for breakthrough and, God, where should I go? You are saying, God, there are only 5 places to go. Either U.S. as a country or U.K. where there are plenty Nigerians. Or if it's within Nigeria, it is either Lagos, Abuja, or Port Harcourt. You will fast, you know, people will be fasting and praying about things God is not planning to do at all, ever. But why won't the Lord speak? That's another thing. You must understand, he doesn't just talk, just speak. No, he doesn't just speak. You have to be able to hear. Are you getting my point? Because actually the speech is out there. There are some speeches that are already out there. So what he does is that he speaks like you are here this evening, and one day you just start hearing the word of God. And he starts explaining to you, not from the east or the west or from the south, not from the south, cometh exaltation. But God is judge. That it is not your environment, wherever you're hearing things, wherever you are. And that's why you realize that it just only strikes you that for the last 3 months, your friend has been calling you periodically from Ogoja or Lokoja, you know, been calling you. And there's one business we are supposed to do. And he said, look, the only person he knows that can help out this thing will become solid is you. But anytime he says, you don't even hear it. Your ear has been super glued with what the Bible calls strongholds. Super glued. Until that word comes and cracks that super glue out of that place. That is when suddenly you start hearing. Then again, oh, now, so, then now at least you can consider it. Oh, you may not even think he's the Lord. You know, just say, okay, let me go answer my friend. Anywhere we are, we can prosper. We travel there one day. Then one day becomes 1 month. 1 month becomes 1 year. Then 5 years later, you look back. Ah, what happened? Look at how we have prospered. Look at how we have been enlarged. From there, you can now go to anywhere. Of those 5 places you were praying about, you can now go anywhere. The Lord was able to say that simply because he had arranged your heart to be able to hear. And that is why, in this one, pray, shout. I found out a lot of people, they are very lazy. That's why they pray.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You know, see the way you are seated now, to be listening. They can't. What they want is, hey, shala go logo again, hello, luban, blah, 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 hey, just jump, just keep it. To settle down like this and be listening is hard for some people. To take a book, read it from the beginning to the end, it is impossible for a lot of people. They find it easier to be running around praying. You know, I want to ask some of them, come, what exactly do you say? No, really, I'm going to plant a bug on somebody one day, if the Lord will allow. Just, you know, a microphone. This is your prayer, let me just hear. You've been praying about something for 2 weeks. What have you been saying? I just want to know. No, I'm asking, I'm not criticizing. I'm curious. What have you been saying? Is it, Lord, do it. That one, a CAC kind of prayer. They do it once, it's been good enough. Oh, Lord, is this matter we're on again? Holy Ghost, this matter. I say, oh, bros. That's not right. You can't be repeating this. It's what the Bible calls vain repetitions. That people think that you'll be heard because of their plenty words. That's what Jesus said. People often make that mistake. Look, I heard one man once. He was talking about, to handle that matter, he prayed for maybe like 2 hours. I'm like, wow, that's nice. Then at the end of the 2 hours, the Holy Spirit now said to him, speak the word. I mean, like, excuse me, sir. You mean you didn't try that one first? I mean, I would have thought that would have been the first thing you tried. That one, it didn't work. That's why you went into the prayer. You mean it took 2 hours for the Holy Spirit to say, don't pray. Speak the word. I don't know whether I get my point. And the testimony would be like, praise the Lord. 2 full hours we were there before we finally broke through. And when we hit that point, we began to declare the word. And like, sir, why didn't you start with that? And if there I heard that, I still remember that message. If there I heard it, because we were instructed. All right? And the way we were instructed was that at such times, speak the word. Do you understand? If I had been in that situation, I'm not doing holier than thou or better than thou. I'm talking based on what we're taught. The first thing that would have come to my mind, if I was the one, was to speak the word. Why? That was how I was trained. That is, I would have done mine in 1 minute. I would have done it 2 minutes and one. And 2 hours and 1 minute. But I've just been in 1 minute. Why? Because before then, we are settled down and we're taught to speak the word. That's what I mean. A lot of Christians, they just won't spend their energy where it is important. My own explanation, my own understanding as of today, is that 90% of what we Christians call prayer points are not supposed to be prayer points. They're not supposed to be thought about. Do you know Jesus banned you as a Christian from going for prayer meetings discussing you need food, you need job, you need wife? Do you know he's banned? Do you know he outright banned? He said these are the things that the Gentiles seek. He said, your prayer point should be on how to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. While you are doing that, other things will be added. Do you realize that? That's what he said. He said that expressly. Jesus banned you from sowing a seed for breakthrough. What do I mean? He said, these are the things that Gentiles seek after. I was reading, I was reading my Bible. I got to the issue of Solomon again. I was reading a New Living Translation, simple grammar, simple modern day English. And he said that, what do you want me to do for you? Anything you wish, ask, I will do it. And Solomon went and started, you've been very kind to my father. You have given him a name, you've given me a throne. Let me put my own words, and I can't remember it word for word. I don't want to spoil it. those kind of things. He's like, great people, please help me to do what is right so that this nation will remain great. God said, no gold, no silver in the prayer point, no long life. What about the life of the enemies? You didn't remember any of these things? Or unless you like this, I will give you what you have asked for, and I'll give you everything you did not ask for. It struck me that that's exactly what Jesus said in the New Testament. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. You know, we still do prayer meetings on every other thing. Tonight, receive thy wife. Tonight, receive thy husband. And it's prayer point. And I mean, the whole night. You will say, all the ancestral, what do they call that thing? Agreements my parents entered into, and generations before me, that said, I will not marry, that my wife will not come, that I will not become rich in this life, be broken. Begin to break it. Begin to break it. Begin to break it. I say things that are not popular, but they are true. You know the truth? None of those things are broken by begin to break it. None of those things are broken by begin to break it. Let me say something. Do you realize that just because you say something doesn't mean it has meaning? I'm a university teacher, all right? And students say things once in a while. I will just start laughing. I'll say to them, this is what you have said now. Does it have any meaning to you? I say, does it have any meaning to you? Anything you can break down and tell a lay person you don't know it? Now that's medicine, right? Do you know in prayer we do the same thing? Open our mouth and say, begin to break. I break it. And Satan say, come, break what? The curses with what? I just break it. whichever way is broken. You know the reason, the issue? The truth is that Satan knows that there's nothing here. And then to break things that are not present. I don't know that I get my point. That is, you know your main issue? You're walking in ignorance. You're deceived. And you're trying to break something that is not there. Do you understand? And Satan says, okay, go ahead. And you're breaking it. Look, there's nothing there. He said, but how come I'm still in bondage? Because you think you're in bondage. Because you think you're in bondage. Somebody will say that after I have four businesses, they all fail. Something must be wrong. No, nothing is wrong. There's three more to start to fail before things begin to work. Because the righteous man, you see what I'm saying? He said, all those things I said that I won't make progress. I break them. He said, oh, God, people have said, you know, can't the spirit sleep in peace? Satan is trying to sleep. People are disturbing. Satan, say, what? I break you. What now? I stop coming to your house. Everybody is reading the Bible. That's what I mean. People use words. They copy from people. And it now becomes a habit. Oh, my enemies. And listen, you can't just be praying nebulous prayers. Prayers that have no focus, no meaning. You are fighting people that are not there. That's what I mean. Say, I break it. Guys, everybody say, break what? Say, you know what your problem is? Ignorance. Ignorance cannot be broken by shouting. Ignorance is broken by learning. Yes. So you want to break this thing? Say, yes, I want to break it. Sit down. Take this book and read. Ah, no, I have to go to work. Take this book and read. Tomorrow is my son's birthday. Take this book and read. Ah, you know, we have to be in the village every weekend. Go for Bible study and sit down and listen to something. Hey, I have choir practice. That's the one I hear a lot. Take this tape and listen to it. You don't know my children. They are very noisy. You know what you are saying? These are the reasons why I can't break through. I can't prosper. I can't do well. I've accepted it like that. I can't break it. Honestly, my own estimate of it too. I was talking to one brother the other day. He said in his church that he doesn't go for prayer meetings. He goes for every other meeting. Once the prayer meeting, he said he doesn't go. You know his reason? He said, I can't pray those prayer points. So when he says his prayer meeting, he will find something to do. Brother X, are you coming for a prayer meeting? I have another meeting with my wife. That he will never go. That everybody, they've gotten used to him. Prayer meeting, that guy is not going to come. Some will interpret that he's not spiritual. But his own is that you call these things prayers. They're not prayers. I told you once I went for a meeting somewhere. It was a meeting for ministers. And at the end of the day, somebody began to pray. So you will say to the devil that the word I'm about to hear today, you will not steal it from my heart. Now remember, I stood like this. Devil, you want to steal it? Come first. God is my witness. That's what came to my mind. I said, devil, want to steal the word from my heart? You smoke something? Well, if you smoke something, when you get here, your eye go clear. Come first. So I was just saying, Father, I thank you. I give thanks in the name of Jesus. I have the spirit of wisdom. Now, my reason, and I remember the way I reasoned it was simple. Jesus said like this. Solomon said like this. He said, pay attention that you may gain understanding. And he said, the ones that the devil stole were those who heard the word and did not understand it. So once I understand it, the word cannot be stolen. So the prayer is not about devil, don't steal. Prayer is, I need what? Understanding. That's it. So if I have to pray any prayer, it's Father God, the word that will come today, give me, you've heard me pray, lead that prayer, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Give me understanding. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The devil is not my problem. There is another prayer point. Then I went, why is this guy doing like that? Plead the blood over your heart. That today, and I look and say, what's all of this? So after a while, I didn't know the lady beside me had been watching. See, which kind of human being did my size so? So after a while, when there was a break, she poked me a bit. Hello. Yes, ma'am. Which church do you attend normally? Because this was different people came from different places. I can't remember the answer I gave. I've been to many churches, so I don't know the one I was going at that time. So I stood up something, I can't remember what. She now said that what she's asking is, she's noticed that when they are releasing those prayer points, and everybody's, you know, come on, you know, they are into the thing, that I'll just stand and fold my hand like this and be looking. I felt like, madam, I thought all of you were just joking, because I don't believe you guys are really serious about what you're praying about. But, you know, if you say that, they will rebuke you. Ah, better don't say such things. Please, if you're not saying that, not pride. You see, listen, if I go somewhere, do you follow? Okay, let me give an example. One day, some were giving counsel to somebody how to treat, I was at the barber's, you know, how to treat one boy had stuff on his head, you know, how to treat it. The barber was talking. So I began to talk. After a while, I had to shut everybody up. Hey, listen, I'm a doctor. You know, there's a way, when you say that, everybody will keep quiet. Sorry, is it pride? It's not pride. I had to assert my authority so as to be able to help the person I needed to help. So you know that we're not the same level. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not guessing. I said once in a while, you know, people, you know, you'll be in a public place, people are just talking. No, it's not good to eat carrot. No, no, no. When you want to eat, we must not drink water. Hey, don't eat sugar. If you eat sugar, red meat, blue meat, purple meat, all kinds of things. No, after a while, I said, look, guys, please, excuse me. I give them information. They want to, after a while, I have to pause. You know, the one in front is a lawyer, the other one is a businessman, the one before, you know. And I say, hey, wait. I'm a doctor. Do you understand? Okay, doc. Okay. It's not pride. It's just that I have to let them, do you understand? So sometimes it's like that in life. I was talking to that woman. It wasn't like I wasn't being boastful. It's just that, if I didn't know she was going to ask me any question, I was just wondering, what is going on? You call this prayer? It's not. You're shouting. Devil, you won't steal the devil. Say, stop me if you can. Because he knows that if you don't understand it, it's gone, even if I don't come. He said that you won't steal. He said, okay, so I won't steal it, but it will drop. I will just hold my hand like this. Sure, you know, go fight me if the thing drop from my hand by itself. That is why we have no choice but to learn. Do you understand my point? We have to learn. We have to learn. We have to learn how to refuse to accept things. What I mean is, okay, I gave my wife something yesterday. Something happened in the morning. I wanted to send materials to Benin for them to broadcast on radio. I was supposed to upload it. And the internet has been being very, very funny. In fact, the one before, they couldn't because all over town, I couldn't get the thing to upload. So I just called the lady and said, Sam, sorry I couldn't upload this. Just get one of the old ones and use. She said, all right. So it was going to happen again. So as I started in the morning again, as I said, the thing upload, the thing just refused, stopped moving. I made the first statement, which was a wrong statement. I said, Okwari. It's a Yoruba word for, you know, you're exasperated, you're tired. So I pronounced that it's finished, that this is not working. As soon as I said that, I think the Holy Spirit said, what's your problem? Come on, you stop that. I said, no, Kopari, nothing. no, really. But I was, when it happened, I called my wife and I was telling her, I was laughing. I said, listen, you will not frustrate me again today. This word you are going to Benin, they will broadcast you today. You are going to upload. You will upload. Yeah? Begin upload now. You didn't hear me, so you are uploading. And I wasn't playing. I wasn't angry. I was talking. I was talking to somebody. Yes. Do you get my point? Yeah. After a while, the thing agreed to upload. So this is what I'm going to say. And I said, I'm not going to say anything. I've said the last thing I'm going to say about it. I just kept quiet. Something just dropped in my mind. I picked up the phone. Well, it might be technical for some people. Something just came to my mind. I went to the network, checked something in the network, and altered the access point. I just altered the access point and then put the thing back. I was linking through my mobile. I put the thing back. I said, I'm not going to say anything. I just put the thing back. Look at the next thing I just was zoom, zoom, boom. The whole thing went in less than 1 minute. I said, yes! The answer. Now, why did I tell you about that? I was corrected there and then. Stop accepting things. Just it's final, you know. They just accept it. That's how it is. If it is not right, if it's not in keeping with the word of God, don't accept it. What am I going to do about it? Just don't accept it. I don't know what you're going to do. Just don't accept it. Just respond with, this is what the word of God said. We learn some of these things before. We forget it a lot of times. Occasionally, we have to be reminded. I like this story all the time. Terry Mize and Jackie Mize. I've told that story. If you listen to me long enough, you've heard it 20 times. Terry Mize said to Jackie, or Jackie said to Terry, I can't marry you because if I marry you, we will not have children. And Terry Mize said, why? He said, because the doctor said, maybe she had a problem before, they had checked this and that, said you can't have children. And the guy just answered simply, the doctors don't know what they are saying. He's not a doctor. He just knows a bigger doctor. He has read the report of the bigger doctor. And that bigger doctor has said many things. And the bigger doctor, which is the biggest doctor, the Jehovah that he led thee, said it simply. Many things he said. One of them, I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. He said, what do the doctors know? They don't know anything. The senior consultant, you know the way it is in medicine. If you come to the place, the house officer says, this is incurable. I say, okay, but wait, let my chief come. I don't know what I get the point. And then chief comes. Who's the chief? It's a registrar or a senior registrar. And they look and say, no, this is not this, this is this, and we should be able to treat over the next, take this drug for like 3 months, you'll be okay. But let my chief come. You see what I'm saying? Then they wait, then the big chief comes, slightly older a bit than the other people, more experienced. He says he's a consultant. And he looks, it's what he says that is the final verdict. He says, no, we're not going to use that treatment. No, that's the old treatment. We should try this. We'll use this. Well, no, it should be all right. Let's give it 6 weeks. Everything will be okay. Thank you, sir. Now, you can imagine that when the biggest of all big chiefs, the only chief, are you getting my point? The creator chief now shows up and says, what the other small, small boys said, they are wrong. I see. You know, there's one thing about my own medicine. When I can't find it there, I create a new one. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am the beginning and the end of all of these things. And so he wrote a report and gave that report to Terry Mize. Jackie came with the report of the small, small boys. The small chief said, I can't have children. Terry said, come, let me show you the bigger chief's report. You will dwell in the house as a joyful mother of children. So much was the power of God manifested. She wrote a book titled Supernatural Childbirth. She carried her on to an extent, saying, no, I will not even experience pain in childbirth. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That's what prayer is. We learn, you know, we have to learn. It's not just shouting, not just shouting. So that day when I was answering the woman, I didn't know how to tell her. I said, mother, I'm sorry. I didn't see the prayer point. All the shouting people were shouting. I couldn't see the prayer point. I told you the other day, I was in my room. My wife said, see, bat. And you know, for both of us, it was a biologic thing. It wasn't about spirit. It was biology. An animal, a rodent with wings, you know what I'm saying? What is the genus or the family of bats again? I don't know. Anyway, the thing just flew past, and it was an interesting sight. Where is it? How did it come in? We're wondering, where is it coming from? Okay, mother, coming from under the AC vent. All right. Anyway, meanwhile, Bishop and his wife, they are downstairs. Let's go and see them. We'll handle the bat later. Please, it has flown into the wardrobe. Just shut the wardrobe door on it so that I will know it's there, so I can throw it out. I was saying, there have been witches that changed to bats, so not in my house. Maybe that one changed in your village, I don't know. In my house, any bat that enters the place and is not dead on arrival is a bat. Any bat that enters my house and is not dead is a bat. If it died on the windowsill and I had to throw away the corpse, I may be suspicious that it is possibly a witch. Because maybe the Holy Spirit killed it there. But they entered my house, and you know, some people won't wear clothes in that wardrobe for a while. What's my problem? I shut the door on it. We went downstairs. When our guests left, I told them, I have a witch upstairs that I need to go and remove. When I got there, I just opened the door. Good enough, the bat was trying to come out too. I just trapped with a basket, a closed basket, covered it, came out, told my cousin, let me throw this thing outside. If it is a normal church goer, where I know today, bros. And mind the premises. Call the pastor. Pastor on call. It was night. Say, please, the pastor on duty. What is his phone number? He said, what happened? What happened? There was a bat. I said, what happened? It's a witch. If I, the way it was looking at me like this. This is the annoying part. Now come to church. Testimony. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Somebody rejoice with me. It's for the grace of God that I've been there since yesterday. They came. They came. Anointed to destroy bats to start flowing. And I told them once I read the church magazine, I felt so bad that day. I felt bad. You know, I was embarrassed. You know, some things you read, you'll be embarrassed. Like when Christians say that they dug into hellfire. Have you heard that one before? Some people sank microphone into hellfire. You know, when I hear it, I'm embarrassed. That you believe that? You believe that? Pastor Mark, are you saying there's no hell? There is hell, but you can't dig into it. Are you stupid? How can you dig into it? You put a human microphone into spiritual, but that means it's human bodies that are there. Go and check which of your cousins they are saying. Come on, let's forget all of this nonsense. You know, Christians, when you say this, they're embarrassed. That's what I hear it. I cringe with embarrassment. I say, God, how can the souls of human beings shout that a microphone can pick? Think about it. And then went and researched it on the internet, found that there was a joke. It was a joke. Some people were just forming jokes. There was indeed a pit that was dug, but there was no. I want to say that nine miners were killed when Satan flew out of the place. Miners die all the day, every day, you know that. Carbon monoxide is trapped underground. Carbon dioxide, in heavy amount, it just suffocates with people. It happens every day. Not only carbon dioxide, methane gas. As our miners have, they have to test for all of these things. That's not to do with hellfire. You know, this one I heard, the one I saw in the magazine, the one they delivered from Staphylococcus. Do you know, I wanted to put my head. You know, I was embarrassed. And the man of God said, yes. This lady was afflicted by Staphylococcus. Those of us who went to the school in that area, we know, say, bros. People can be delivered from different things. So I'm not, God delivers people. I'm a Christian. I believe in demons, that they exist. They afflict people. Me and my friends have had to chase demons from people's lives a few times. Real things, they occur. When I say, delivered from Staphylococcus, I'm embarrassed. Now print it. Every enlightened person will throw into the trash basket. Because it is one of those confusion in society that all these traditional doctors, they used to make money. And they'll send it to some labs, though, say, go and culture, and the lab will actually culture Staphylococcus. Why? Because it is present on normal people's skin. And I'm going to say, deliver from Staphylococcus. You know, you're just, I just start praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, enlighten us. Please forgive us of our ignorance. We won't embarrass you like this. Please do serious miracles so we have something else to print. You know, that's a prayer point you should pray. God, please, let's see serious miracles. So all these Staphylococcus miracles will not have a place. You know, say, Staphylococcus you're delivered from. Forget that one. We have somebody who was about to die from kidney failure that was healed. Let's print that one. What else? One brother, he fell, all right? He cracked his head like Michael Schumacher, you know? And then when they will pray for him, his head rearranged as we're looking. Let's print that one. This is Staphylococcus. We'll wait for the next edition. After a while, we say, sister, let's not deceive you. You didn't have Staphylococcus or anything. You were worried. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Why am I saying this? People oftentimes, you know, we pray with a lot, that is, we lead in our petitions with ignorance. And if only we will settle down and learn. Two things. One, just to be aware of what's going on in life. Number two, most importantly, the word of God. If only we will settle down and learn it, we will know that some things actually are not problems. In fact, let me put it like this. There are things that's, this is number one. Forget the other two. There are things that are actually not problems. They are just a phase in life. Do you get my point? If your parents were not rich,
You just left school, just finished NYC, and you're broke. And you say it's Satan. What's wrong with you? It's not Satan. It's that you're young. Think about it. Maybe a little boy comes. How old is he? He's 4 years old. Daddy, pray. There's a problem in this family. Why? What's the problem? I'm not up to 5 feet tall. You're 4 years old. Lay hands on me. Are you going to lay hands? What do you say? Just wait. We'll pray this prayer in about 10 years' time. When we reach that point, we will pray the prayer. At your age, you can't be up to 4 or 5 feet. How are you going to manage it? In the same manner, say a young boy, he is broke. Asking, is your father rich? No. Your grandfather? No. Your mother? No. So what gives you the impression at this age you have plenty of money? I have to run a child of God. Nobody's denying that fact. Just say at this age, children of God are not rich unless their earthly father is rich. I'm telling you, pray for me. I'm praying for you. Any other prayer points? I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. I want to understand the word of God. You're my guy. You're my guy. Yeah, bring the head. I will lay hands on it. Lay my head on your head. Get a bottle of oil. Pour. Because you have a solid prayer point there. Say, Pastor, you have to pray. I think there's a curse working in my life. Why? The last three women I asked to marry me, none of them agreed. I told God is keeping you busy until the real one comes. He said, no problem. Ask the next four. Before you finish going through seven, somebody go agree. It's simple now. Listen, that's just how it is. Doesn't mean there's any problem with you. That is how life is. If you ask three women to marry you and none of them agreed, it means that none of them wants to marry you. That's all. Why are you interpreting it more than that? They don't like you. What's the problem? Must everybody like you? And maybe you ask too fast. You know, you're supposed to gauge whether they like you first. No, guys, you have to gauge you. Let me, you know, and then they are waiting for tips now. You just go and knock on somebody's door. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel led in my spirit, impressed to come and ask you to marry me. So my spirit has not woken up. When he wakes up, I'll talk. There's no big deal. Just go there. Ah, it's Angie, you know. That's our Angie. He said, Angie, how now? Well, I'm going for Bible study by 4:30. Should I pass by and pick you up or walk down together? He said, no, I'll be cooking. Okay. And you get here? She's here by 5. Just forget it. Just forget it. There's no problem. All right, okay, you don't want to forget it. Try again. At least, why is she saying that no proposal? Before you proposal things like that, you will have seen how she's eating your ice cream. You understand what I'm saying? When she sees your face, you see joy, you know, bubble up. You know, she's depressed, you show up. Oh, how? What's it? No, nothing. Then you know that your things done, they're good, amen? You see, something go sell, you know what I'm saying? Just go there. Somebody with the hand. I mean, you call her 5 times. The phone rang. You say, okay, maybe she was in the bathroom. She didn't return the call, and you are proposing. You are very stupid. Listen, you call her 5 times. She not return the call. Leave her. Maybe she's on WhatsApp. You send her a message. She not answer. But you check last thing was just 2 minutes ago. Well, your own message now since yesterday in the morning. You never reply. Oh boy, they know they propose that kind of thing. Next time you see her, I just say, hi. Just walk up and I say, no, you don't care. If you even watch a film like that, you remember Thomas Crown? When the guy was really interested in the lady, he had to pose with his friend's daughter. You know, just make sure he was whispering to the girl. He knew they were taking pictures of him. They showed her. He wanted her to just get angry. So when the woman really, really vexed, when she saw those pictures, he said, yeah, good. This thing's working. Because if she had just been nonchalant about it, she's not jealous over you, what you are proposing, what is wrong with you? Just go and read the Bible and forget that. Yeah, no, it's true, it's true. You should know you are received first. Before you start asking my proposal, you should know when somebody is happy to see you. Happy to see you. When you show like this, ah, she's happy. Amen?
Amen.
The way you are scratching your forehead, I got you. I got you. The guy is going to do like this. I got him. I got him. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, so why did I say that? So there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. You are not sick, not spiritually. There's nobody is cursing you. They are rejecting your proposals that you know you don't know how to do it. Huh? That's all. It's not. You don't have a problem. He said, but are you saying there are some people that they don't have one jazz, so they don't jazz them? I'm telling you, you are not jazzable. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Are you some people? You're not some people. You are not jazzable. You are a child of God. You have been freed. You have been liberated. The blood of Jesus has washed away your sins. You are a child of God. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. That's what I'm making. But with all of these truths, everything won't always go the way you want it to go. That's what I'm saying. Some days your car won't start. That's how life is. This earth is not perfect. You can buy bad fuel. These are not signs of curses. These are signs that you live in Nigeria. You get what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, sometimes people misunderstand you. They just tell you a story. I know one man. You can know one man. You don't know one banker. Never. You never hear a story of a banker that was bound by one stupid spirit. Never. You can know one man. One woman somewhere. All these unbelievers that Satan is chewing for breakfast. No, Satan, very wicked. All this is followers. Lunchtime, just say this one, break his neck, give me his brain. That's Satan. He can't do that to you. Can't do it to me. Listen, let me ask you. Was it a curse that sent Joseph into the house of Potiphar? Was it a curse that sent him out of the house of Potiphar into prison? It wasn't. It wasn't. If anything, it was a blessing. The Bible says clearly, the Lord sent, are you getting my point? The Lord sent a man ahead of them whose feet they hurt with fetters. The man that God sent ahead, all his going into Egypt was God sending him. So sometimes Christians want to be praying about curses in their lives when they are blessed people. What you do is you enforce. Now, I told you earlier, there are things you just refuse to accept some things. Just refuse. You totally refuse. I give you a testimony. Though it sounds funny as a testimony, but you see truth in it. A friend, one of our sisters, once the son died. I mean, took ill, had a fever, and died. Literally died. A few days later, you know, neighbors, all these satanic agents that want to kill the rest of the children, they came. Please, oh, madam. Wow. God won't let us this kind of thing again. But you see, we have found out that your neighbor, that one, is a witch. This really happened. Somebody came and told her that your neighbor is a witch, and we think she's the one that killed your child. My friend was grieving. She started laughing. She laughed and laughed and laughed and tapped the person and said, "Madam, don't worry about it. No witch can kill my child." Do you understand? That was the beginning and the end of the discussion. Yes, it's okay. Come on, start going home. Thank you very much. Don't add more confusion to the one I have currently. Start pointing fingers. Came and said, "Neighbor, your neighbor is a witch." My friend said she laughed. That is in the midst of her grief. Laughed and said to her straight, "Listen, madam, no witch can kill my child." Because she understands that as a matter of fact, that no witch could have done it. Please, we need to get this mentality as Christians and stop wasting time in what we call prayer. People stay up all night. Say, "Tonight you are going to raise an altar and say that all the witches, all the Ogbanje spirit." No, they don't use Ogbanje anymore now. It's spirit husband. Ogbanjes have retired. The spirit husbands. all of them that say you, that is, you will raise an altar against them as they are speaking. And then you start talking to people, you see the prayer go they hot. Oh, go they hot. You go they hot. And God will look at the angel and say, what are we going to do about them? We can't answer them because they are not saying anything. Empty babblings. When you hear the angels in heaven, they say, what are they saying? The angels will be dancing what they are saying. They're not saying anything. They ask the Lord, what shall we do? Just send them a preacher. Let them hear the truth. When the preacher comes, they don't want to hear. We will pray this how we have always been praying. They are not getting any results for the prayer. They make themselves feel happy. Said, you have healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying, peace, peace. Why is slight is that for those people you are shouting peace, peace, they are happy. Say, when indeed there is no peace. That's why I'm going through all this. That's all this plenty talk. Because I believe if a quarter, what am I saying? If 2%, 2% is heavy. If 1% of the prayers that we Christians in this country are praying are effective, I wonder what God will have done. There are those who gather around fighting their enemies. I will say to you plainly, it is a waste of time. There are times I try to be nice and not be critical of other people. Well, how long will we be, you know, keeping quiet when people are being led into error every day? Firing Holy Ghost fire against enemies when Holy Ghost fire is supposed to fall on you. So you can be more effective in ministry. Don't you want Holy Ghost fire? If you want it, say amen.
Amen.
In fact, let me pray for you. Holy Ghost fire on you, say amen.
Amen.
On me too, not be only you. Me with the hair. I need it. I need it. I need it. We're wasting time firing Holy Ghost fire. Wasting Holy Ghost fire. Ah, God, please, thank God. The thing, in fact, God was not issuing it. I was going to say, thank God, say he never finished. God said, it can't finish. I wasn't using it. When they shout it, I don't answer. It's the wrong direction. Say, on my enemies, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is not for your enemies, my brother, my sister. The blood of Jesus is for who? It's for you. It cleanses your conscience of all dead works. It cleanses all the sins away from your record. When they look in heaven, all they see is red. Do you get my point? Yeah, they don't see all your bad works. They don't see any evil you have done. It's been washed clean. Then when they look again, it's white. The blood has washed everything clean. On all your past life, the blood of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
And that's what it is. It's not for your enemies. Though. The waste of the use of the blood. The blood is for those who it is redeeming. When the angel of death was roaming around, he found the blood on the houses of those that were redeemed. He didn't find it on the enemies. All my enemies stay outside. As for me, the blood of Jesus. That's better prayer. Upon my head, my children, my wife, everybody I minister to, Holy Ghost, fire. You will be hot for righteousness. You will not be able to keep quiet, but you will be uttering the word of God. You will be able to stand strong against sin. When you stand, people will shake who are opposing the word of God. Why? Because upon your head, Holy Ghost, fire. That's a better prayer point. That's a better prayer point. Well, let us go home. Let's say we should open somewhere. I wanted to explain again so that we can get into our hearts the meaning of praying in the name of Jesus. And so that we'll become confident when we are going to prayer. Don't ever forget. When you show up in prayer, nobody's checking what you did or what you did not do. One day, brother even said something. So one day, something got missing. And he went to go and tell God how he has paid his tithe. And therefore, the devourer has no business. I was in school and I was looking at him. Are you serious? Are you joking? He said, as he was praying, I remember the last month's tithe, he never complete out. You now say, then I had to begin to plead the mercy of God. And he was laughing. And I said, this is utter foolishness. Why didn't you just come pleading the mercy so that you don't have to remember whether your tithe is complete or not complete? If the mercy is available, why use any other thing? Do you understand my point?
I mean, there are two bank accounts. One is your own. You work hard for it. You pay money into it. You understand? This is second bank account is not your own. It was, let's use an earthly man. Bill Gates said to you, anytime you need money, just draw on that one. You understand? And then now you want to pay rent. You understand? Or you want to pay something. And now, he knows his own account, like minimum balance, 25 billion naira, that kind of thing. And what do you need? 10,000, 15,000? And I go to your account and say, excuse me, please. How much my balance? They don't pay that digging we did for fiber optic cable last week. Have they paid the money? They check.
Ah!
No, they paid 8,250. How much is your check? 10,000. Say, okay. Check the other account. Just use the other account. No, the banker is going to look at you like, are you all right? You mean you have access to both accounts? Say, yes. So why are we checking the balance of the fiber optic cable digging you dug? Why don't you just present the check based on this one that, we can't finish even if all of us in this bank start eating it with you? And that's how we pray, very stupid prayers. I said, you were planning to come and say, hey, Lord, I paid my tithe, it's complete. The enough one is not complete. And I said, let me plead mercy. Why don't you just plead mercy constantly? Because mercy is not the check whether the tithe complete. But that time, you said, like one man said, you have to pay the whole tithe. If they dash you money on the road, if they dash you a recharge card, you have to go and give your pastor the phone, use your portion and give me the rest. He said, that is the whole. The one thing Kingsley said to me, he said, sir, when I met you, you liberated me. He said, before that, I was in bondage, a working accountant. You dash Kingsley's shirt, you go monetize the share, calculate it, amortize the depreciation. And then finishes, you give the value of the shirt when you gave it to him. You now call it and start looking for money to go and repay God a fraction of the cost of the shirt. Of course, he met Pastor Bank. And that brought deliverance to his soul. So if the man doesn't love me, he loves me for retaining him as a lawyer and no longer an accountant. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. The brother said that, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, foolish Galatia, who has bewitched you? And you come every time, you plead the blood of Jesus, and we plead the mercy of God. And the mercy of God has a name, we said it. And what is that name? Jesus. That's what I want to talk about, they emphasize it again to us. When we pray, you don't even think, have I done this? I have not done that. I have not done this. Let me, some people want to, till now, you want to approach prayer. Let's pray. Let's first check, is there anything I have done wrong since morning? No, nothing. Did I think any bad thought? No, I'm not sure. But just in case, Lord, I confess the bad thoughts that I may have thought while I was not thinking. I didn't do anything bad, though. I know one young man. As far as I'm concerned, his mother ran him mental. Physically, not a joke. Every little confusion in his life, he goes to talk to his mother. His mother said, how many souls have you won for God today? So the boy was a walking sinner for not winning souls persistently. The one he won yesterday, no go walk today. I was talking to one sister that used to go to one of those churches. Why did you leave? He said, sir, what was the word she used again? Yes, thank you. She said, those people tormented me. Say, when you want to pray at night, listen to this, that she's afraid to sleep. She has to think of everything that happened during the day so she can confess anything that may peradventure be a sin, just in case she dies at night. Then she wakes up in the morning. All the sins during, I'm adding this latter part now, all the sins she committed in her sleep. Maybe she was snoring too loud and disobeying the neighbor, disturbing the neighbors. She will confess again. Midway through the day, you go confess just in case. It's a joke. I heard a joke once that some people flog their children when they sin. Then when the children are going out in the morning, they say, come here, give me some flogging. Say, daddy, what was that for? Just in case you do something when you go out. Just in case. So I let me flog you in advance. We approach prayer like that. I want to pray. Lord, what could I have done? We are thinking. Please, let me recommend to you again. Go and listen to the series, True Righteousness Revealed. Please, patiently take it and listen to it. Go to our Faith Basic series and listen to those messages again. You need to be able to walk boldly. Ken Hagin said something, I'll listen to him again today. He said in 30-something years, he had never once, when I was preaching the message, it was maybe in his 50s. He said, I didn't cross his mind once that Jesus will come and he won't go with him. I can say this to you. Since 1987, it hasn't crossed my mind too. That's why when he someone said he dreamt dream, he went to hellfire. You've noticed, it doesn't even move my shoulder. They got there, they saw handsome black men there. That's your problem. This handsome black guy is going to heaven. It is 1987, which was when I began to learn the word of faith. It hasn't crossed my mind once that Jesus will now look at you and say, are you worthy? The discussion between me and him is different. It's, Lord, all the things you say I should do, whether I finish doing them, which one remain? But this heaven, now my property, forget that one. Why is it your property? Why did you come to die in the first place? Why are we even talking if you don't know me before? Why are we even talking? Look, you are my guy. Forget that one. Forget that side. People still approach prayer with saying, what could we have done wrong? What did we not do wrong? The way you approach prayer is called the name of Jesus. Which means the only reason why you can come is because you have believed in the Son. Period. Let me end with this. And then say, hey, so that means you can sin and nothing will happen. If you want to sin, you are the sinner. It's people like you that go to hellfire. Yes. True Christians don't want to sin. They don't want it. That's why Paul said, if anyone is overtaken in an offense. Are you getting my point? That's the word he used. It has to be an overtaken. He slipped. He wasn't careful. Let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. He wasn't taking heed. He fell. Not the one that say, hey, it means that, you know, that's what I tell you about giving. Say, when I finish preaching that, you don't prosper because you give. Someone say, oh, it means we don't have to give. You see, Jaguda, he didn't want to give. All the one you were giving before, that is proof that it never worked. No, that's the proof. That's the proof that it never worked. When you hear me say that you don't have to give to prosper, I say, good, it means I don't have to give. That means you're not a giver. You're a stingo. That's what you are. You need to repent and be baptized, if you know what I'm saying. You need to really, really give your life properly. Give your pocket to God. I divided part of you give to God, the rest you give to Satan. That's why you're not settled. You thought you're giving. God has not been accepting it. Because if you say to a true Christian that you don't have to, that is, your prosperity is not because you gave, it doesn't bother him. But he knows that other person's prosperity was because I gave. No, be so. That is like I helped somebody. The people are happy. That boy couldn't eat that day. I fed him. That family was going to go to sleep hungry. I fed them. Whether I prosper because of it or not, what difference does it make? They were blessed. Those are the people that they are giving actually brings forth results for them. There's no good work you do that God doesn't reward. But like I said, you don't do them because of the reward. That's what I wanted to teach today, but when we get back, we'll get into it further next time. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are blessed. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for your word. Say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of darkness, death, and passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse and into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and we live above Satan. Jesus. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Amen.